transition from getting here this morning to being here, and I'll share with you some scripture passages. God said to Moses, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." This is the everlasting promise of God to God's people in times of sorrow and in times of grief. The psalmist said, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble." The writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done this, so that all should stand in awe before him." And then in the fullness of time, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Please have a seat. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Come to us in our remembering, O God, that as we relive those experiences and touch again the moments that were significant for us in the life of our loved one, Kathleen Lillian Dawes, that we may know that she is now with you, safe from all the struggles of this world. Speak to us this day your message of life and death. Help us to live as those who are prepared to die. And when our time comes, may we die as those who go forth to live. In this way, living or dying, our life may be in you, and nothing in life or death will be able to separate us from your great love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My name is Bill Whiston, and I'm privileged to be the one who will share this service of celebration today for Kathleen. And it's good to see you here today. Following the service, there will be a reception in the church hall immediately following, and then the family are going to have to leave around 1 o'clock to go down to Ingleside, which is almost at Cornwall, for a burial at 3 o'clock. So if they get up and leave, don't feel that you have to rush away if you're not quite finished, but they have a sort of a time commitment to be at Ingleside around 3 o'clock. It is important that we are here together this morning as a family and as friends of the family. Each person grieves in their own way, and I think when we do come together at a time like this, the healing has an opportunity to begin. And so just by being here this morning, we're able to give comfort to one another. And if only for this hour, we will be joined together as a special community of family and close friends. At times like this, our words frequently fall short of what we really want to say and to do. Yet we find ourselves trying to express not only our grief, but also our joyful feelings for Kathleen and for the many relationships into which she entered during her life. And so for me, this is an awesome role to be privileged to stand with you, to stand before you at this time, to stand at this threshold place where life meets death, to stand in the presence of our God, to share in this final celebration for one you have loved and known for so many years. And so I do thank you for your trust in me to be able to help you through this time as you grieve your loss, and at the same time as you celebrate a life which has been fully lived in your midst. The family have chosen some wonderful music and hymns today, and we're going to begin by looking at number 747 in our Voices United hymnal, "The Lord's My Shepherd." We'll stand for that.
Then there is my one and only, working with her hands and heart. She, such wisdom, full well knows, with logic, resting in compassion, truth in the flowers that she grows. We married oh so long ago, knocking knots and tethering tethers. A longer tribute, I've not the wit. Despite a hallowed life together, why, even Shakespeare couldn't do it. Can you imagine having a poem like that? person who truly lived the type of life which so many can only dream about. She experienced real love for a lifetime, lived true to her religious beliefs, and came as close to being the perfect mother as is possible. She taught us so much, how to live our lives as respectful and decent people, and even at the end, Mother showed us how to die quietly, peacefully, without fuss. Well, several weeks ago, I was going through some old family videos and came across one that I had completely forgotten. And it was a video of Mum's wonderful choir, the Jubilati Singers, recorded in 1991. And there she was, dressed in her cherished purple gown, standing at the end of the row, because, of course, she was always the shortest, but singing away with all of her heart with that famous perfect pitch. The choir was not singing a hymn, nor a selection from Gilbert and Sullivan, or anything fancy. Rather, they were singing an old Sinatra song. And it was clear that Mum was living those words and proudly telling the message in that song. And I'm going to recite some of the words of that song, which I doubt has been used often in the eulogy. And I'm going to invite you every once in a while to close your eyes and imagine Mum up there singing with that expression that she had. The first line, fairy tales can come true, it can happen to you. I think you're on a prayer. Well, Mom's life with Dad, so full of unending love, was a fairy tale come true. Beginning way back when they first met through a church choir. And of course, like fairy tales, which always end with words, they lived happily ever after. So too did Mom and Dad. For it's hard you will find to be narrow of mind. If you're young at heart. Mom, narrow of mind? Never. In no way was she naive to the ways of the world, but still her innocence was inspiring. You can go to extremes with impossible schemes. Well, this is one area where the song doesn't really work for Mom. Indeed, the wonder of her life was in part her willingness to accept the simple life while deriving so much joy and happiness from it. No fancy schemes to achieve happiness were necessary. And life gets more exciting with each passing day, and love is either in your heart or on its way. I ask, was there anyone more in love than Mom and Dad? I will recite another short poem written by Dad for Mom, not when he was young and newly in love, but in fact, in 1995, the year that he passed away. My love is like a red, red rose that newly grows in June. My love is like a melody that's sweetly played in tune. So hold me close, my precious one, so much in love am I, and I will ever keep my love till all the seas stand dry. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart? For as rich as you are, it's much better by far to be young at heart. Well, unlike most of our society, Mom never needed money, or glamour, or fame, or drugs, or alcohol to find true happiness. And if you should survive to 105, well, 94 and a half isn't bad. Look at all you'll derive out of being alive. Yes, even in her later years, when frailty and illness were taking their toll, Mom could still tell stories to make us smile. And she always derived remarkable joy when listening to David play the piano, well evidenced even just a month or two ago, by watching her direct the orchestra with her hand and tap her foot in time. Then here's the best part. You have a I comfort myself in the hope that she's with Dad and my little sister. She has been released from the undignified progression of disease that she did not deserve. But despite it all, Mom's faith in God remained unshaken. She believed in the Lord with all her might, and today I smile to imagine Mom singing with Dad somewhere up above. She earned her place in heaven, and she's finally home. I will close with one more verse from Dad's poetry, a verse which I wonder if he wrote for this very occasion. When death strikes hard and I'm the one who's left of some great love and cherished life bereft, yes, I'm still here to ponder this, all stunned and shocked by death's dark, dismal theft. I must not curse the present woe, all bad, that makes my thoughts so black and low and sad, but lift my soul to loftier climes in praise for all the happy times we had.
Thanks, Ray, for those special words today. Now I'd like to invite Reverend Irving Johnson to come forward, please.
Mr. and Mrs. Dawes came to my village when I was grade one and were there for 13 effective years during my older. Now I'm a minister and a third reason. Our little village had never seen anyone go to university. They were people who could give ambition and hope and determination. A little later, you'll hear Mrs. Dawes' mantra for life quoted from the Philippians that Paul wrote, where she chooses to rejoice in your life in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice, and I'll do a few verses that are precious. They were her fashioning of her personal life, her Christian life, and her life as Mrs. Minister. After a very strong hope, she prayed it determinedly. My recollections are to give you a view different from that mantra of hers, because that was from her soul inside. I want to give you some views from outside, as Graham has already given you. Some as a child saw them in my growing years. Back in 1929, depression struck the industrial world and little town Wilmette wasn't immune. We had a rash of hobos that stepped off the train as it rumbled its way up the hill to the village, looking for help and needing it. Our own residents were not immune either. Many of them had to go begging or go on a hated government dole. One of the trails
continue in music with David and Andrea in a Scottish medley in tribute to Mum. We noticed the song, the famous song, The Mighty Lass of Lorna Accord, and Big John McNeil will feature in this medley.
Mm-hmm.